Chapter 47. Joshua didn't manage to sleep any more during the remains of the brief night. He washed, shaved, forced down some breakfast. He felt oddly groggy when he arrived back at the observation gallery in the sudden dawn. The two next were already here, along with the Irwins and Agnes, standing uncomfortably between Lobsang and George. Margarita Jar came to join them. Only Sally was missing, which was typical of her. Maybe she had found a way off the ship after all. And Joshua wondered, too, if Agnes had broken her news to George yet. Maybe not. Clearly George was in his element here, side by side with the next, facing a major crisis. Agnes was probably kind enough to let him have his moment. Looking down, he saw that the airship had made its appointment. The landscape below was familiar from his own visit here with Lobsang. There was the profile of Long Island, there the churning Atlantic, and there was the tremendous viaduct constructed by the Beatles just as before, striding across the land and out to sea. Ken Bowring joined them, wearing dark glasses.
"Quite a sight, isn't it, Mr. Valiente? George Abrahams told us about the trip you made here, showed us the records. Has much changed? If you saw our records, you'll know. Last time around, Long Island still had some forest. Now the island was bare rock.
Joshua imagined tremendous waves battering at coastal provinces like this, stripping them of vegetation cover, every living thing, even the topsoil ripped off. The viaduct itself was just as it had been before, but there was something new, a circular feature directly under the viaduct, dug into the rocky ground, like a crater perhaps. Its floor glistened like glass. Bowring was staring down grimly. Joshua said,
"You okay?"
Bowring grinned, a forced expression.
"Weren't too many cocktails with the captain last night. Hell, it was only a few hours ago. The damn nights aren't long enough to sleep off a hangover. But this..."
He waved a hand at the scene below. He didn't need to say it. Overwhelming.
"I know," Joshua said. "But what's that scar? A circular feature?"
"That's what I want to know," said Marina Irwin.
Ken Bowring said,
"Marina, you asked yesterday if we'd been doing anything about this situation. Well, we have tried. Scientifically, we tried to understand the Beatles, to communicate with them."
"In search of a weapon to use against them?" Joshua guessed. Bowring said bluntly,
"Shoot a gun at one of the damn things and the round just bounces off his hide, or it absorbs the slug and becomes that bit stronger."
Jar said, "I know it sounds brutal, but I think our commanders hoped we'd find some kind of bioweapon. We've come up with nothing so far. And besides, these are cyborgs, a fusion of life and machine. Even if we attack the biology, we're not sure if that would actually stop them."
George said, "And the scar below?"
Jar said, "When we failed to make a dent in the bugs themselves, we tried attacking their works, these viaducts. We tried a whole series of demolition tactics."
"Cut to the chase," Oliver Irwin said. "You used a nuke, didn't you?"
Jar nodded.
"A tactical weapon. Only a few multiples of the Hiroshima bomb in energy. Well, we cut the viaduct. Right where you see the scar. We had a party that night."
"But," Bowring said, "within 48 hours the damn Beatles had built the thing back again. As you can see, the bugs at Ground Zero must have been destroyed, but for the survivors, the fallout, the radiation, doesn't seem to affect them. And as far as we can tell, the incident made no difference to the spin-up process."
He glared down at the viaduct.
"You have to remember that these structures girdle the planet. We have a lot of nukes, including many that have been converted to steppable materials."
He grimaced.
"Just in case we ever needed to fight a long Earth nuclear war. Maybe, with some kind of concerted effort, we could disrupt them, slow them down. But at what cost? This Earth turned into a nuclear wasteland on top of its other problems? And we couldn't eliminate all the Beatles anyhow."
Irina looked horrified.
We can't stop them, then?
Ja said evenly, Not on this world, no. They've simply ignored everything we've tried to do to them, just as they ignored every contact we attempted.
Irina said, So, are we just going to give up?
Now Stella Welch, the next woman, shared a brief exchange of quick talk with Marvin and stepped forward.
It's time for us to be open with you. You have called on us for help, and you were wise to do so. Yes, Marina, we have to give up this world. We can't destroy the beetles, but we must protect the rest of the Long Earth from these creatures. The threat of their spreading is great.
All this talk, Marina said, anxious, angry. What are we going to do?
Welch faced her.
We think we have a way. We must seal off this world, make it impossible to step into or out of. We have been studying the phenomenon of the Long Earth, stepping itself. We believe it may be possible to do this. There will be costs, for us as well as you, whose home this was.
Marvin frowned at her.
Costs for us? We haven't discussed this. You're thinking of Stan Berg, aren't you?
Irina asked,
Who?
Stella ignored her.
Yes, Marvin. It may be necessary to use him. He may be the strongest of all of us, as demonstrated by the facility in exploiting soft places that he seemed to develop simply by observing us. If he can be brought here...
You want me to arrange for him to be collected?
I think that would be wise.
Joshua had no idea who this Stan Berg was, but he already felt sorry for him.
What costs? Of what kind?
Stella looked at him gravely.
The world must be closed, you see.
From the inside, Marvin said.
Ken Bowring gaped and took off his sunglasses.
This is the first I've heard of this. From the inside? The inside of what?
Stella and Marvin exchanged a look.
It is difficult to explain without the mathematics, Stella said.
Joshua said,
I think they're saying that whoever does this, whoever saves the Long Earth, will be laying down their life.
There was a shocked silence. Then George stepped forward.
We asked you here to help us, and now we must trust you. And we will. What can we do to assist you?
Stella glanced at Joshua.
First of all, could you please persuade Sally Lindsay to talk to us?